ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, chapter entitled, Jamaraj Instructs His Messengers. Text number 19. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam na vai vidur rishayo napi deva na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuta nu vidyadhara charanadaya dharmaṁ tu sakṣāt bhagavat pranītam dharmaṁ tu sakṣāt bhagavat pranītam navai vidur viṣayo nāpi deva navai vidur viṣayo nāpi deva navai vidur viṣayo nāpi deva na siddha mukhya asura manushya na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuto nu vidyadhara charanadaya kuto nu vidyadhara charanadaya dharmaṁ tu sakṣāt bhagavat pranītam na vai vidur viṣayo nāpi deva na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuto nu vidyādhara charanādaya dharmaṁ tu sakṣāt bhagavat pranītam na vai vidur viṣayo nāpi deva sakshat bhagavat pranitam vidur viṣayo nāpi deva Mataji? Dharmam
real religious principles or bona fide laws of religion. But sakshat, directly, Bhagavat, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pranitam, enacted, not, vai, indeed, vidu, they know, rishaya, the great rishis such as Bhrigu, not, api, also, deva, the demigods, nor, siddhamukhya, the chief leaders of siddhaloka, asura, the demons, manushya, the inhabitants of bhurloka, the human beings, kuta, where, no, indeed, vidyadhara, the lesser demigods known as vidyadharas, charana, the residents of the planets, where people are by nature great musicians and singers. Adayaha, and so on. Translation. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas, and charanas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When challenged by the Vishnu Dutas to describe the principles of religion, the Yamadutas said, Veda pranihito dharmaha. The religious principles are the principles enacted in the Vedic literature. They did not know, however, that the Vedic literature contains ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep peace and order among materialistic persons in the material world. Real religious principles are nistraigunya, above the three modes of material nature, or transcendental. The Yamadutas did not know these transcendental religious principles, and therefore, when prevented from arresting Ajamil, they were surprised. Materialistic persons who attach all their faith to the Vedic rituals are described in Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna says, Veda vadarata partha nanyat astiti vadinaha. The supposed followers of the Vedas say that there is nothing beyond the Vedic ceremonies. Indeed, there is a group of men in India who are very fond of the Vedic rituals, not understanding the meaning of these rituals, which are intended to elevate one gradually to the transcendental platform of knowing Krishna. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyaha. Those who do not know this principle, but who simply attach their faith to the Vedic rituals, are called Veda Vada Rata. Herein it is stated that the real religious principle is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That principle is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. One should give up all other duties and surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the real religious principle everyone should follow. Even though one follows Vedic scriptures, one may not know this transcendental principle, for it is not known to everyone. To say nothing of human beings, even the demigods and the upper planetary systems are unaware of it. This transcendental religious principle must be understood from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, or from his special representative, as stated in the next verses. Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam navai vidur vishayo napi deva nasiddha mukhya asura manushya kuto nu vidyadhara charanadaya. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas and charanas. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Devaya Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Desha Tarane. We're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. So, as we've been hearing in the recent verses, the conversation between Jamaraj and his servants, the Yamadutas, is continuing here. The Yamadutas were frustrated not only frustrated by being physically but also emotionally. They're very disturbed, very upset and disturbed. They had seen the activities of Ajamil, very sinful activities. Practically speaking, his day, every day was filled 24 hours with sinful activities. They saw his activities, and they knew that his time was over, that it was time for him to die. So they approached him with their rope to bind him up and drag him to Yamaraj for punishment, to the hellish planets for punishment. So Ajamil saw them coming and became very much afraid. And as he was habituated to do, 24 hours a day, he was very much attached to his small son, whose name was Narayan. So he, being very much afraid, he called out for his son, who was playing nearby, to help him. He called out Narayan. But when he called out Narayan, he somehow or other remembered the Supreme Lord. By hearing the name in such a condition, he somehow or other remembered. Because as a child, as a young Brahmin boy, he was trained in the ritualistic performances, and he knew who Narayan was. So he somehow or other thought of the Supreme Lord. And therefore his sinful activities were completely eradicated. And immediately the four Vishnudutas appeared on the scene and called out to Ajamil, "Do not fear." And they cut the ropes of Yamaraj, of the Yamadutas. They cut the ropes. And they chastised the Yamadutas, "Why are you taking this sinless person?" And the Yamadutas said, "Well, we know what sin is. Sin is described in the Vedas. Religious principles are given in the Vedas, and we've studied them. We've heard from our master, Jamaraj. We know what religious principles are." And he was violating religious principles. He was leading a very sinful life. So anyway, not caring for the Yamadutas, the Vishnudutas, they restored Ajamil. They restored his life, so his life was not taken away, and sent the Vishnudutas away, offering all protection to Ajamil. So, you can imagine, they were very much frustrated and angry. How is it? We know that Yamaraj is the controller of all sinful persons. He's our master. We're following his instructions perfectly. How is it that we've been frustrated? Are there different controllers of equal rank in this world? And they can, or different ranks or whatever, and sometimes one is controlling, sometimes another controlling, or at some point in time one is functioning and another time another is functioning. How is it? We understand the principles of religion. Unless sinful persons are punished, then the whole all human society, all the planets will be put to ruination without the religious principles being enforced. So this is very bad. So they immediately went to Yamaraj. And they're in a very angry mood. How is it you didn't protect us? How is it that you didn't come and send those other beings away and allow us to do our job under your guidance? We are grief-stricken. We are filled with grief. We don't want to serve a firefly. We want to serve the controller. Vishwanath Chakravarti uses that term in his commentary. He says, we don't want to serve a firefly who is just shows some light, but actually there's no heat. We want protection. We want to serve the supreme controller. And we understand that you're the supreme controller. If there will be of sinful persons, so if sometimes your order is supreme and sometimes someone else's order is supreme, then it will be mass confusion. They even admitted, well, we know that there may be some district ruler as opposed to a national ruler, that, okay, we may have, there may be a governor of a state or a mayor of a city, but there's still the national government. So we understand that principle, that some local ruler may be subsidiary to a higher ruler. We understand that. But we're understanding that you're the supreme controller of sinful persons. So now we're very... So we have been very much frustrated. We're your faithful followers. We've been following your order. We've been following your order very faithfully and enthusiastically. So, and now we've been frustrated. So we think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, so now we think we should give up our life. Unless you can call those four persons here right now, take Ajamil from them, and so we can send Ajamil to hell. Unless you can do that right now, we're going to give up our life. Very angry. Then we will be satisfied. We don't want to work for some lesser controller. Yamaraj is hearing all this, and in the course of the conversation, when Yamadutas were describing what happened, they mentioned that Ajamil had chanted the name Narayan. So Yamaraj was very happy. Yes, they're chanting the holy name. My servants are chanting the holy name. But he was also, internally, he was a little bit humbled, realizing that he had not properly trained his servants, the Yamadutas. He had not properly trained them. In a fatherly way, he chastises them in order to instruct them, in order to bring them to a higher platform. So he's saying, so you think that religious principles are given in the Vedas? This is your thought. He says, well, it's true. Religious principles are given in the Vedas. But, Navai vidur vishayo napi deva nasidha mukhya asura manushya kuto nuvidyarara charanadaya. Yes, it's true. They're given in the Vedas. But even the great rishis cannot understand. And the controllers of Siddhaloka, they cannot understand. What to speak of them? Of course, the asuras cannot understand. Human beings cannot understand. What to speak of them? Not even if they cannot understand, what to speak of the vidyadharas and charanas? What to speak of them? How do you think you understand? How can you claim to understand if even these great rishis, they don't understand? So indirectly he's telling them, you're fools. In a fatherly way. Even the great rishis don't understand. How can you understand? So he's saying here, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. We can understand religious principles are given by the Supreme Lord. But as he says in the next verses, he'll say that true, religious principles are given by the Supreme Lord, but you have to understand from an authority. And the next verse, the authorities are listed. So, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. the true religious principles are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they are given to one who approaches an authority. So Yamaraj is saying, you have committed an offense to the Vishnu Dutas. He's telling the Yamadutas, you've committed an offense to the Vishnu Dutas because you say that they're promoting a dharma. So this is an offense. They're not promoting a dharma. They're actually upholding a dharma. Because they were protecting a devotee. They're protecting a devotee. So Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains in his purport that one, that the materialistic ceremonies in the Vedas, they're there. They're meant to be followed according to time, place, and circumstance. They're meant to be followed. They're not wrong. But what's wrong is if you think that they're all in all. This is Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Veda vadarata aparta nanya rastiti vadanaha. So someone who thinks that these Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are all in all, then they're mistaken. Veda vadarata. They're meant, Srila Prabhupada nicely uses this nice frame, the Vedic literature contain ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep peace and order among materialistic persons in the material world. Now that's also Krishna's business. Krishna also wants to keep peace and order amongst materialistic people in order that they can gradually become elevated and gradually become free from sinful life, so they can gradually come to understand if they give up sinful life, then they become eligible for the association of my devotee. And by association with my devotee, then they'll be able to take up devotional service and they'll be able to become free. But the purpose of those Vedic ceremonies are only to bring one to the point of bhakti. So if one is already at the point of bhakti, then there's no need for the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. So this is Srila Prabhupada makes this point very nicely. So one, in general discussions, if one should quote authority, if one wants to establish some point, if one wants to discuss philosophy or one claims to be a philosopher, then one should quote authority. This is the meaning of being a scholar. One should quote authority. So one can quote the Vedas. Generally speaking, the Vedas are the highest authority. So if there's any question, then one can refer to the Vedas. But if we try to establish, if we take the general principles described in the Vedas and we think that they're applicable to everyone, even the devotees of the Lord, then we have to be careful. Then we're very much prone to make mistakes. As a general rule, the devotees, they follow the religious principles of the Vedas in order to keep peace amongst human society. Because if a devotee doesn't follow religious principles than others may imitate without being devotee. And by imitating, they'll give up the religious principles that are actually capable of elevating to the point, elevating them to the point where they can become a devotee. So the devotees generally follow religious principles. But to think that devotees are subject to those religious principles that are meant for materialistic persons, this is a mistake. And this is what can lead to the to someone maybe following the Vedas, but ultimately commit offense, and then his spiritual progress will be checked. And that's so if one will become like these Yamadutas, where they were blindly applying the religious principles of the Vedas to Ajamil, who had chanted the holy name, who had functioned as a devotee, even for a brief moment at the time of death, or his supposed time of death. So one has to be careful in applying Vedic scriptures. One cannot just say, well, it says in Shastra like this, therefore everyone should do like this. This is not proper. One has to quote authority, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We can't just quote Shastra. We have to quote Shastra, and then we have to, the principle of Sadhu is that if Shastric principles are followed in the association of devotees, then it's confirmation that is applicable to devotees. If some Shastric principle is not supported in sadhu society, sadhu is like performing Ashwamedha sacrifice, is forbidden in Kali Yuga, but still some groups quoting the Vedas they try to follow. So if they come to us and say, no, you should also perform Ashwamedha Yajna, they say, no, it's not practiced in sadhu society. Devotees, they don't practice it. Therefore, we do not follow. Because these three principles are there, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And our Guru has not, even though something may be followed in sadhu society, if it is not instructed by, if Guru has told us not to do it, then we should not do it. It has to be, all three have to confirm. It has to be there in Shastra, has to be followed in sadhu society, and it has to be confirmed by the instruction of Guru. So these three principles are there. So we have to be careful not just to accept Shastra blindly. Don't make the same mistakes as the Yamadutas. So, what is this real religious principle that's given? Dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. What is this real religious principle? What is this real dharma? There's two meanings of dharma. Dharma can mean just any religious practice, but it also means the eternal nature of something, of some vastu. Every vastu, everything, every type has a dharma, has a nature. So the dharma that's given here, mentioned here, is the dharma of the soul. What is the dharma of the soul? The dharma of the body is to gratify the senses, be gratified to always be seeking for gratification. That's the dharma of the body. The dharma of the mind is sankalpa vikalpa, accepting, rejecting, thinking this, thinking that, considering this, considering that. The dharma of the soul is to serve the Supreme Lord Krishna. So when Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja, he's giving up one meaning of dharma and applying the other meaning of dharma. Sarva dharman parityaja means ordinary dharma should be given up. And he's establishing what is real dharma. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. So this is the real dharma. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. So there's one very nice purport later on in this canto. In chapter 16 of this canto, Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice purport right on this point. He said, Bhagavad Dharma has no contradictions. Conceptions of your religion and my religion are completely absent from Bhagavad Dharma. So dharma can mean religion. So you have there's Hindu dharma, there's Muslim dharma, there's Christian dharma. We can talk in those terms. But Bhagavad Dharma has nothing to do with any of these other dharmas. Bhagavad Dharma means following the orders given by the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, sarvam dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. God is one, and God is for everyone. Therefore, everyone must surrender to God. That is the pure conception of religion. Whatever God orders constitutes religion. Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, Srila Prabhupada quotes. Whatever God orders constitutes religion. In Bhagavad Dharma, there is no question of what you believe, what I believe. Everyone must believe in the Supreme Lord and carry out His orders. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. Whatever Krishna says, whatever God says, should be directly carried out. That is dharma, religion, meaning real religion. If one is actually Krishna conscious, he cannot have any enemies. Since his only engagement is to induce others to surrender to Krishna or God, how can he have enemies? If one advocates the Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, the Christian religion, this religion or that religion, there will be conflicts. History shows that the followers of religious systems, without a clear conception of God, have fought with one another. There are many instances of this in human history, but systems of religion that do not concentrate upon service to the Supreme are temporary and cannot last for long because they are full of envy. There are many activities directed against such religious systems, and therefore one must give up the idea of my belief or your belief. Everyone should believe in God and surrender unto Him. That is Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma is not a concocted sectarian belief, for it entails research to find out how everything is connected with Krishna. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. According to the Vedic injunction, Sarva Kalvam Idam Brahma, Brahman, the Supreme, is present in everything. Bhagavad Dharma captures this presence of the Supreme. Etc. So Srila Prabhupada very powerfully he points out this, and this was a common theme throughout his preachings, that one should understand what is real religion. What is Bhagavad Dharma? So, this is given, your religion is given in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru mam e vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me sarvadharman pradityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tang sarva papebhyo moksha yasyami maasuchaha. Only one dharma. Everything has its dharma. But there's only, for the soul, there's only one dharma. Service to Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained further. Jivar Swarup Hoy Krishnara Nityadas. Jivar Swarup. Jiva means the soul. And Sarup means the eternal nature, the eternal activity. Nityera Krishna Das. Everyone is a servant of Krishna. So Krishna came. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to establish this principle. Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. He came to preach this principle. This is the purpose of Krishna's advent 5,000 years ago. To establish this, to teach Bhagavad Gita. And his devotees, the Brijbasis, the Yadus, they all exemplified this. They all surrendered their lives to Krishna. And this was very nice teaching, and all his Krishna's pure devotees, they followed these teachings. But there was one lacking. If you have a teacher that gives you some precept and he doesn't follow it himself, what do you think of that teacher? Will you follow that teacher? Well, if you're a very good student, you may follow that teacher. But if you're a rascal, if you're a demon, no, he's not following, why should I follow? So, just after Krishna's advent, what happened? Kali Yuga came. After Krishna left this planet, Kali Yuga came. And what's the nature of Kali Yuga? Everyone's a rascal and a demon. So how are they going to follow? Krishna didn't personally demonstrate. They'll just find fault with Krishna. Oh, he didn't personally demonstrate. So Krishna was thinking like this. He returned to Golok after speaking Bhagavad Gita. And he said, something's not right. I haven't done a complete job. He says, I have to come again. And I have to demonstrate. Personally demonstrate for the rascals and demons of this Kali Yuga how to surrender to Krishna. What does it mean? Sarva dharman pradityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Personally demonstrate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came. Krishna himself came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to personally demonstrate. So, dharman tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only bhagavat pranitam, not only did he give bhagavat dharma, but he personally demonstrated how to do it. So, Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada very kindly came and gave us an opportunity in these modern hellish cities of how to personally surrender to Krishna. So we should take full advantage of His mercy and make our lives successful. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Prashna. Yes, microphone. No one has the mic. Yes, but it's covered over. It's covered over with so many religious ceremonies. Because if it's given directly, then people will imitate. They'll just pretend to be a devotee and say, well, Vedas say I can do like that. So everything is there in the Vedas, but it's covered. It has to be drawn out by a Mahajan. Has to be drawn out. Otherwise, people will become irreligious. In the name of surrendering to Krishna, they'll become irreligious. And then they won't be benefited by the Vedas. Yeah, well, Bhagavad Gita is not technically part of the Vedas. It's considered to be the fifth. Mahabharata is like the fifth Veda. Something else? More question? Yes. Before or after? He knew. He knows everything, past, present, and future. If one performs the sacrifices in previous ages with qualified Brahman, if one performs those sacrifices in which animals are killed, they're given a new life, so the animal's not harmed, and one has a taste for eating meat, and one will satisfy that taste, and then will someone eventually they'll come to the point where they why should I take so much trouble to spend so much money for such an elaborate sacrifice in order to satisfy my tastes, buds? So better I give up animal slaughter. And that's, in the previous ages that was possible. In this age it's not possible because there's no qualified Brahmins. So as we see that by the chanting of Hare Krishna, so many people are at least becoming vegetarians. By even someone, Srila Prabhupada once commented that, maybe this was mentioned recently in another class, that if someone, some disciple of Srila Prabhupada left the movement and went back to material life, then he would always be asking, well, are they eating meat again? And thinking that, well, at least if they're not eating meat, at least something was successful in his preaching. They've taken something. So, by the chanting of the holy name, then we can also minimize, can have some effect in reducing animal slaughter. But people of this age, they're demoniac. And they'll eventually become more and more degraded. And this movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, will spread and spread and spread, and eventually it'll cure the problem. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.